Welcome, everyone, as Fantastic Geek talks the latest in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Matt here, and joining me, as always, is Pete. Hello, Pete.
Hello, Matt. Hello, everybody.
So, Pete, last weekend, I just put together a quick little note for the, especially for the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. podcast, just saying, hey, there's really not too much to talk about right now. We're off to do Agent Carter. Hope to see you there. Don't know when we'll talk again. And then in this past week, a boatload of stuff involving Marvel television and Marvel movies dropped, so we have to address it today.
There's no downtime, Matt, and the production on these shows has resumed post-holidays, and as we've seen before, it's all connected in a year where we're going to have Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Agent Carter, Daredevil. And that's before Avengers Age of Ultron even comes out on May 1. And then Ant-Man in July. There's quite a bit going on. Oh, yeah. And Jessica Jones, which we now know will see Netflix in 2015. So, yeah, just a little bit going on.
Absolutely. And We won't discuss Agent Carter right now, since we covered it in depth for what I believe was a 90-minute podcast over on the Agent Carter feed and the Agent Carter radio program. But Pete, part of that Agent Carter premiere this past week was, of course, the Ant-Man preview. So, you know, I'm generally anti-spoilery, but I don't mind seeing me a quick preview. So if you're completely anti-spoilery, I don't know, we're going to spend a couple minutes talking about this. Pete, will Ant-Man have big success?
It will have bigger success than the general thinking was before this teaser trailer. Edgar Wright's departure from a project that he had lovingly nursed for, I believe it's 5 or 6 years, you know, and then left, because of differences with Marvel. This is clearly, since Iron Man 2, Marvel's most troubled production, and it really eased a lot of people's minds to see this, to get an idea of what's coming, to have some footage now to sink teeth into. You know, Guardians of the Galaxy is the biggest risk as far as a property that Marvel has taken to this point. And, you know, I think we don't need to say any more about that at this point. That's proven. But this is less riskier now than it was a week ago with the reaction. People are feeling much better about it. And we got a lot to look at.
What people need to remember when it comes to Marvel movies, yes, there's emphasis placed on a variety of different great and talented directors, but the analog that you need to have for Marvel movies is James Bond and is Harry Potter, in that it's not a director-driven production. Yes, the director has important, unique, creative input, but there are people who have been doing this longer than the director of a particular movie. The different Harry Potter movies have different flavors depending on the director, but they're cohesive. James Bond movies, obviously tone can shift from time period, so on and so forth, but at the end of the day, it's the same production designer for the last 30 years. It's the same boom mic operator for all that we know. It's the same guy who they go to and go, all right, we need to have a car on two wheels and doing explosions. So yes, as you said, Pete, a lot of debate over losing the director, and I think understandably so. I mean, the movie needs a director. The movie needs a quality director. But, you know, there are people who have made so many successful Marvel movies to help fill in any gaps that might occur. And, I mean, Pete, that was a super fun trailer, largely kind of dark and down, but with
Which
those
is...
moments...
You know, I can tell you to this point, you know, is not really where the movie is. The tone of this movie is different than what was presented. They gave you a little bit of a hint at it, but there are far more comedic elements than you'll be expecting, given what you saw in that teaser.
Yeah, I mean, just his little, you know, when it's, you know, we want you to be the Ant-Man, and his little, huh. Like, to me, that just said volumes in terms of, you know, it goes back to the elemental rule that Bryan Singer gave us with the first X-Men movie. What'd you expect? Yellow spandex. It's that, you know, it's that sense of humor where you're just, you want to treat this as a serious real world thing. But at the end of the day, it's spandex and the little miniature guy who rides an ant. Like, you know, keep it in perspective, check yourself. And I thought that the preview just looked like it was a ton of fun.
It did. I'm excited about it much more than I was. I love the casting throughout this film. The only issue I had with the trailer was Michael Douglas's voice was really gravelly. We know he's had some personal issues with the throat cancer and everything like that, but it just sounded wet.
That was not the word that came to mind. I mean, I would agree it was a little bit gravelly. I think, too, I don't know how much of that was dialogue from the film and how much was perhaps written just for the trailer. I mean, you need to get across to people who have no idea the character's name and, like, you know, we need you to be the Ant-Man. Because they probably did a couple takes where it's like, you know, Ant-Man. And if you just say it in the course of knowing what it is, you know, but then we need that Ant-Man.
Right. You know, but everybody in it, I mean, I would have far preferred to see a little bit more of Evangeline Lilly, particularly in the haircut there as Hope Van Dyne. But you got a couple quick action shots. You got some shrunken down action. No Yellow Jacket suit to this point, which has been, you know, a source of a lot of discussion. But Corey Stoll, who plays Darren Cross, the other day came out and said, I am Yellow Jacket. You're going to see it. So, you know, Marvel's out in front of that as far as public relations are concerned. And listen, you know, this is the dessert after the banquet that will be Avengers Age of Ultron and, you know, all the TV we have this year too. So I think they're smart to put this production out this year. But, you know, come on, that's nothing that we can't say of Marvel for what now, 6 years?
Yeah. I mean, it looks fantastic, and I think on a certain level Marvel welcomes the lowered expectations. Mm-hmm. And frankly, for Ant-Man to come out after Avengers 2, whatever comes out after Avengers 2 is going to do less box office. So let it be something that's a little experimental. Marvel, you look at that Marvel slate through the end of the decade, Marvel's prepared to try things, to try different things. At a certain point, they're going to stumble, or it's going to be not our favorite, or Cap 3 won't be as good as Cap 2, or, you know, whatever it's going to be. But Marvel is not content with, like, let's constantly reboot the universe, or... I mean, my goodness, Pete, we haven't even discussed this in real life. I read multiple articles yesterday stating that there are sources at Sony, that there are some people at Sony who want Tobey Maguire to return for Spider-Man 3. Really? Yes.
Yeah.
Like yeah. there's that level of cohesion. I mean, you know, there's that level of incohesion, rather.
Yeah.
Bring it on, man. July 17th. I can't wait for Ant-Man.
Yeah. And, you know, one last bit on the casting and how we saw it, you know, so this is a mantle passing superhero idea, you know, as if you didn't already get that. But I just think that Paul Rudd is the smartest possible choice they could make for this material. You know, it's his time in terms of everything he's done, and to be the first new Avenger introduced in phase 3 here. I'm really excited about it as a choice.
I mean, he's a great presence on screen, and he's known primarily for comedy, but it's not kind of broad comedy. Like, a lot of his movies, funny things happen to his character. It's not kind of, you know, Cable Guy. So he's a fantastic choice.
Yep.
Pete, moving on. You know, that's July, and you know, we'll be talking about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. a little bit. Hey, we don't have Daredevil till Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. ends, right?
Yeah, no, surprise. Everything that we had, and I started to hear rumblings later in the day, Tuesday, that something was coming, but everything we had pointed to May on Daredevil. And surprise,
like official Marvel statements, no less. Yeah. Not just like guy in the corner, you know.
Yeah. Surprise, Friday, April 10th. So, bring it on. We're ready. We've had to make ourselves more ready. But that's okay. And I mean, the biggest thing other than having a date now is making sure it's all covered.
Absolutely. I mean, we of course will be podcasting it. That plan has not changed. There was something slightly ironic that after the kind of slow rollout of the Agent Carter podcast and, you know, and preview episodes and the one shot, we do Agent Carter on Tuesday and, you know, up quite late because it's not just on till 10, but now we need to do two episodes in one. And, you know, I thought it was quite a solid episode. All right, man, you know, okay, it's midnight, it's 12:30. All right, cool. Take it easy tomorrow. Catch you later, Pete. And then, no, we need to start talking about Daredevil because that just got moved up 4 to 6 weeks. So, Pete, what's the plan for the Daredevil podcast?
Well, we have a lot of different ideas, but our biggest concern, please understand, is always going to be quality. Though we record our podcasts live to tape almost immediately after they air, obviously with the Netflix series model of here's an entire season, that's going to test that. So we want to know, we're soliciting our audience's input. How are you going to watch it? How do you then want to listen to us podcast it? And given that this is only the first of four different series with four different characters that will then combine in what was still being listed as a mini series, not a full-on series, of the Defenders. Yeah, we kind of need to formulate our own model when it comes to podcasting content that comes out all in one chunk.
Pete, the best way for people to share their thoughts would be to head over to fantasticgeek.com, click on the poll.
That's fantastic
tab.
With a PH.
Absolutely. And click on the poll tab. That's just poll with a regular P. And the top poll there will be the Daredevil podcast, at least, you know, between now and when we start podcasting it. And basically, there's going to be three questions. How are you, the audience, going to watch the series? What do you think our format should be? Whether it's we're doing, you know, talking about the whole talking about things having seen the series, we're doing each episode for the first time, we're doing a commentary track. And then basically, how often do you want to listen to it? All a whole bunch of at once? Are you going to be listening once a week? You know, how is that going to work in your end? And please, 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 if you're planning on watching Daredevil and listening to our podcast, please vote in that because we genuinely don't know what the best way is to do it. And we want to not just like, you know, serve the audience, but we want to keep things fresh ourselves. So we want to see what you guys have to say.
Definitely. You know, like I said, we take your input very seriously and, you know, we want you to be involved in this. You know, we're so grateful to our listeners and we do this for you. So let us know. I can't tell you that we're going to completely follow everything just because we've got to find something that works. But, you know, that we want your input should tell you how important it is to us.
As you said, Pete, quality is number one. Of course, the Daredevil podcast is not on iTunes yet. We don't even have a teaser episode yet. That'll probably be coming in the next couple weeks for you to be able to actually subscribe. But of course, the Daredevil podcast will be simulcast on the Pop Culture Podcast feed. You can always find everything as well at fantasticgeek.com. Pete, I'll just quickly mention, of course, we'll revisit this notion, or at least, you know, copy whatever we do for Daredevil for the future Netflix Marvel series, the next being AKA Jessica Jones. There's a little conflicting information out there now as to when that show will drop. The initial statement, which I believe was maybe officially from Netflix, was December. I read an article just last night that said, I believe it was somebody from Marvel TV, although now I'm wondering if it was maybe Sarandos from Netflix, but somebody saying, we don't want to force the timelines for these four shows coming out, the four Defenders shows, so we're looking at 8 to 12 months in between. So some people were like, oh, it's going to be 2016. And I'm like, well, hang on. April 10th plus 8 months, which is the minimum, would take us to December. Right. So, again, I don't know. I don't know that they know, which I love. There's not some sort of, we have to hit a September premiere and then a January return or whatever. It's, I mean, look, obviously they as companies aren't going to be like, oh, instead of today, let's do it tomorrow. But I love that they're just saying, guys, this far out, maybe it's December, maybe it's January, maybe it's next March. I don't know. Let's get the darn thing done. If we need to go back and do reshoots, we're not going to be like, oh, we're not going to get it in time for December. When they're ready, they'll tell us, which I like. I find refreshing.
It's certainly fluid. You know, we had gotten a sense that Daredevil might be ready earlier than they thought. But, you know, it's not unheard of to hold things, you know, back a month or two since they were filming the finale in, you know, mid to early December. But given that they're only in the lead casting stage on AKA Jessica Jones, or as I'm calling it right now, AKA JJ, you know, the wonderful Kristen Ritter, who I think is starbound with her casting in this, going to play Jessica Jones, and they've cast Luke Cage, who will then be the lead in the next Marvel Netflix exclusive, Mike Coulter. You know, they're not too far along, so we're going to have to wait and see. You know, you know, you'll recognize Kristen Ritter from Breaking Bad, and then, you know, don't trust the girl in Apartment 23 on, you know, it's not the real title, but on ABC.
It was about making honey, right?
Like,
it
yeah,
was
about, don't trust the bee.
A honey making
and then
farm.
Mike Coulter played the father of Will Smith's character in the Men in Black 3. So this is a very ambitious time for Marvel. They're clearly going to press the advantage going into, you know, what is already a home run before it comes out in Avengers Age of Ultron. Having the unexpected number one movie of the year in Guardians of the Galaxy and two of the top three movies as far as gross in 2014. So you know what? Hey, here's four TV series and a mini series, and yeah.
By the way, Pete, I would just like to propose to our listeners that the official hashtag for our Jessica Jones podcast be hashtag T AKA JJPBPG, since it's the AKA Jessica Jones podcast by Fantastic Geek. It's that simple, Pete.
Yeah, that's a lot. You're asking a lot there.
Pete, with that, let's return to the mothership. Let's return to Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And the notion of the mothership is very apropos indeed. It was announced in this, again, extremely busy Marvel week that an actor that many, many people love from TV and film will be joining Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. as a lengthy recurring character, which I hope is not code for, like, Agent Hartley shot super fast. Pete, who's coming to visit the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
That would be the revered Edward James Olmos, Admiral Adama from Battlestar Galactica, Miami Vice, and your favorite movie of all time.
He was in Citizen Kane. Pete, of course, Stand and Deliver, that movie that if you haven't seen it, you know, you definitely need to go out and see it. My hope, Pete, is that there's an opportunity for him to go up to, I mean, I guess any of the agents, maybe take an orange and say, this is one orange. Cut it in half. It still is one orange. Let's go do calculus. I'm hoping for that. Maybe he'll be like on a whiteboard or like a clear board and be like, look, now we can triangulate the thing. It's all calculus.
How do I reach these agents?
And then there'll be the assumption that the math he's done is wrong because he's Hispanic. And he'll just prove them. They'll take the test again. It's a fantastic movie. Stand and Deliver. I mean, how could you have not seen it? If you haven't seen it, go watch it. And then, well, I mean, listen to the podcast first. And visit fantasticgeek.com with a PH. Then you can go see it. But, Pete, other than that, there's no information coming out about S.H.I.E.L.D.
Well, no public information, Matt. Come on, let's remember who you're talking to.
That's true.
You know, other than the extraordinary gravitas that he brings to this show, you know, and you're talking about an already, you know, stellar cast. Let's remember he does know the way to Earth.
That's very true. And I have to wonder, is he playing, I believe the character's name is, it's Robert, is it Hernandez? But I'm wondering if his character is perhaps a descendant from the, well, I don't want to spoil. If you haven't seen Battlestar Galactica, I'm just going to stop right there. Well, I'm just wondering if it would be great if there's some sort of connection, which of course is all but impossible and just the kind of geek stuff that, the geek stuff that we think about. But I'm excited. And now, Pete, here's where we get to kind of a slight disagreement, you and I. I have yet to go on my entertainment news websites and see Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. back 9 picked up, 22 episode total. Should I be worried?
No, you should not. If you think about the normal broadcasts, the television broadcast model, if you will, the only time we really hear about back ends of seasons, the back nines of seasons being picked up, is in the first season. The assumption for every second and on season show is that, barring an utter collapse and cancellation, they're back for a full run or whatever run it is that they're used to. You know, for example, the over the airwaves broadcast being typically 22 episodes to a season. And then, you know, when we're talking about the limited run, anywhere from a 16 to a 13 episode model, 10 has become fashionable with, a lot of the more intense series.
Fair enough. I think that what you're saying is buoyed by the fact that when the schedule was announced in late May, I believe, and Agent Carter was officially a thing, it was S.H.I.E.L.D. in the fall, Carter in the winter, S.H.I.E.L.D. returns in the spring. So, I mean, the worst case scenario of, oh man, nothing in the back nine was picked up, well, that means that there's just two episodes left, which nothing, you know, I mean, there's nothing to suggest that at all. There's absolutely nothing. So I guess we'll see. I'm still not excluding the possibility that if the ratings between Carter and S.H.I.E.L.D. are acceptable and good and not kind of, you know, burn it all down and pack it all up scenario, but maybe not where ABC wants it to be, that possibly we could see less than 22 episodes, perhaps, you know, 20, something like that, just as a kind of cost-saving measure. You know, hey, we're not going to make two more episodes, so script accordingly, and that way it saves the network, I don't know, $12-15 million, and with that savings, that's now perfect. Let's renew for season 3. Let's do more Agent Carter, whatever it might be. But this has been a busy week, Pete. We kind of were coming out of the winter break, the Christmas break, going, okay, well, Agent Carter will be cool, kind of shut down S.H.I.E.L.D. for a while, and then we covered a lot today because Marvel gave us a lot this past week.
And there's going to be more coming.
That's true. So regardless of which feed you're listening to this on, we'll obviously update major news as it happens. And until then, we'll just be back doing Agent Carter every Tuesday until its conclusion. But Pete, something that doesn't conclude is the desire of people to interact with you on Twitter. How can they do that?
Well, Matt, 4,939 followers, can't be wrong. You can find me on Twitter at Peter, P-I-E-T-E-R, J-K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R. K-E-T-E-L-A-A-R.
While I am personally on Twitter as Looking Back Lost, you can get in touch with the podcast not three, but four ways. You can visit us on the .com, the Twitter, the Gmail, and the Facebook as Fantastic Geek. That's fantastic with a P-H. Pete, I know that the new Facebook page that you have been minding has been getting a lot of traffic lately, a lot of interesting links and so forth. It's been great to kind of be interacting with people in a new way.
And just a little incentive that all new page likes for the month of January will be entered into a drawing for the Shield number one comic book, just out, hot off of the presses, with the Fitz monkey there on the cover and a couple of inside jokes to that. So if you're a Fitzsimmons fan, if you're a Fitz fan, if you're a Shield fan, if you're a Marvel fan, get yourself over to facebook.com/fantasticgeek, all one word, like it, and it'll keep on showing up in your timeline there. And it's just another way to interact with us. And
fun. Well, that, Pete, I will say arrivederci to our listeners, and I guess we'll be talking to everybody again in a few short days for the next episode of the Agent Carter podcast. With that, Pete, I will give you the final word.
Is it April yet?